Welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn. I teach women how to take back their brain from anxious attachment patterns with love and compassion. It is my mission to help every anxiously attached woman understand their brain, stop the anxious cycle, and finally feel confident and secure in who they are so they can live the life they want. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Hello and welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn. On today's podcast, I'm going to be continuing a series on breaking down the four obstacles of anxious attachment, with obstacle number 3, the fear of abandonment. In the last episode, episode 40, I talked about obstacle 2, uncomfortable emotions. I taught about why learning how to feel hard emotions is the key to soothing our anxious attachment triggers, and how having a small capacity to feel uncomfortable emotion leads us to such big reactions when our feelings feel out of control or overwhelming. So if you didn't get a chance to hear it, go check it out. And also, if you missed episode 39, obstacle 1, overthinking, then you definitely want to go back and listen to that one too, because I help you understand what overthinking looks like with anxious attachment and how to stop it. Today, I'm going to be talking about obstacle number 3 of anxious attachment, the deep-rooted fear of abandonment. I'm going to be talking about how this fear is created and why understanding how this fear works will change your life and relationships. Before we begin, I do a lot of my brain management work with the concept that my thoughts create my feelings. So as I share these teachings, remember this core concept is through the lens which I teach, that our thoughts create our feelings. So your thoughts create your feelings, even for those of us with anxious attachment and brain wirings that are automatic. Those of us with anxious attachment have self-concepts and beliefs that contradict each other. We want to be loved so badly, yet we don't believe we are good enough to be loved. We want to be in love, yet we don't believe that the other person will stay in love with us. We want to be in healthy relationships, yet we have unhealthy reactive patterns we don't think we can change. We want things to stay calm, yet we have big reactions to small things and don't believe we can change it. We feel like that's how we'll always be. We want people to communicate with us, but we get easily defensive because we are afraid of rejection. We want to be in relationships, but we don't want to date because we are afraid of getting hurt again. We don't feel like we're good enough, but we feel like we are too much. We want someone to be our authentic selves with. We want our partners to love us and not leave us, and yet we can't be ourselves because we think they will leave us if they knew any of our flaws. Most of us with anxious attachment want love so deeply, and at the same time, we don't believe anyone will ever be able to love us. Thoughts like these ones I just shared don't just create discontentment, disappointment, hopelessness. They create fear. They create fear that if we do get close to someone and we're not perfect, that they'll abandon us and they'll reject us. So when we're living on that base of fear, it controls how we show up. We can't even ask ourselves if we like the person we are dating because we are so consumed with, do they like me? Do you even know what you want out of a relationship? Do you even know what you like and don't like? Or do you spend all of your time trying to be what someone else would like and want? That's rooted in the fear of abandonment. Fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, is when we believe that somebody will love us for a short period of time and then leave us. This fear of abandonment, this fear of rejection, when we believe it, it cripples us. When we believe this fear is true and real, when we let the fear lead us through our reactions and our decisions, we're no longer in control. We're letting the fear lead. With fear being the root emotion we make our decisions out of, we can never be our true selves. And we can never be true to ourselves either. This fear doesn't only create unhealthy relationship habits, weaken our communication, intensify uncomfortable emotions, but it also leads us to people-pleasing and seeking external validation, which I'll be talking about more in the next podcast. Books and self-help podcasts tell us we have a low self-worth problem. I think there is more at play here. As I work with my clients and as I observe my own thoughts during dating and relationships, I think we have let fear be in the driver's seat. I think we have certain thoughts on repeat that have created a story about how we will always want love and how we'll never get it. These thoughts create fear of rejection and abandonment, which create an urgency in our body and in our nervous system to react and make things, quote, okay. I think it is hard to develop high self-esteem or confidence that's secure and a secure self-esteem when we have these stories about ourselves inside of our head that are in conflict with our beliefs and with our wants in relationships and our beliefs about ourselves in relationships. We have a fear that we are not good enough for the love that we want. We have a fear that we are not good enough in some form, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not thin enough, not, you know, successful enough. And at the same time, we believe we are too much, too needy, too clingy, too crazy. We never feel good enough. Yet we desire love so deeply. And we believe we are deeply flawed, so no one will be able to truly love us. So we have a deep-rooted fear. These thoughts run on repeat in the back of our mind. So we never feel at peace, and we are always consumed with fear of what if. What if they don't love us? What if they leave us? What if I did something wrong? What if that mistake was too much? What if, what if, what if? So when we look at the anxious attachment cycle, we experience a situation with a person we are dating, a friend, a partner, a family member, and it triggers our anxious attachment. We start having thoughts that create feelings of fear. Fear of abandonment, fear they're going to leave us, fear that they won't like us anymore, fear that the love is dying, fear that the love is changing, fear of fill in the blank. And this fear signals to our brain that we are in trouble. So our brain is like, oh shit. I picture the movie Inside Out when all these emotions start freaking out and don't know what to do except go straight to anxiety. Our brain is wired to protect itself. And in these moments of emotional danger, quote, emotional danger, because our brain is signaling urgent, urgent, we have a fear of rejection coming. Our anxious attachment has two habits. We either, one, use a deactivating strategy to shut down. We stop communicating. We freeze. We know we're freezing, but we can't get out of it. We are trying to protect ourselves, but what is actually happening is we're creating distance and detaching from the other person. Or, two, we choose a hyperactivating strategy to reconnect with this person. We text nonstop until they respond. We call them. We defend ourselves. We apologize. We people please. We say yes when we want to say no. We do the thing when we don't really want to. It may look different for you, but you have to find out what it looks like for you when you feel that panic, when you feel the fear and overwhelmed, and then you get this urgency to need to do something now. But here's the lesson I teach my clients. Both of these strategies are reactive. They're wired in us because we do not pause. We feel urgency due to the fear that we need to do something right now. This is how unhealthy relationship habits persist, and we feel that we didn't have a choice because our emotions were in control and were so intense that we had to do something. What we actually need to do is the opposite of the urgency. We need to do the opposite of what our nervous system is telling us to do. We have to learn how to recognize when our brain is sending these alerts to hurry up and fix something. Hurry up, shut down. These are signals that our brain is having a thought overload, most likely a negative thought overload that is creating a huge amount of fear. So what do you do when you feel overwhelmed and you feel this urge to shut down or react or people please? You have to pause. You have to breathe. You talk to yourself. You recognize the urgency in your body. Be curious of the urgency. We're so programmed to be afraid of the urgency. We believe that we really should do something now because it feels so uncomfortable in our body. Because back to the previous episode, we have a hard time with uncomfortable feelings. We have to learn how to retrain our reactions. We have to learn how to feel the urgency without reacting. We have to learn how to feel the urgency and not believe the urgency. We have to learn how to notice when we are being instantly reactive, because it is that moment that our brain is on autopilot and our negative thoughts are on the loop and our fear is running the show. It is in that reactive moment, or the moment we decide to shut down, that we are believing our feelings of fear and we are believing in the urgency. From a brain standpoint, an urge is just a sensation in our body that feels uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable sensation in our body because it's sending up alerts to our brain. Red flag, red flag. But if we took away the fear of abandonment, if we took away the fear of rejection, the urge to do something now is just an uncomfortable sensation in our body that we can learn to feel curious about. Learn to feel and remind ourselves that we are actually safe in this moment and nothing has actually gone wrong yet. We have to learn how to be a vessel for the urgency without action. Us with anxious attachment, our nervous system gets so triggered and feels so uncomfortable with these emotions that we believe the urgency because that was our survival. That's how we made it through different situations when we were younger. But right now, as an adult, choosing how we want to show up in relationships, we have to see how this urgency and this reaction is no longer serving us. We have to practice being an observer of our thoughts in these moments that we feel the urge, and not judge ourselves, but ask ourselves, what is my brain telling me right now? Is our brain telling us that we made a mistake and they're going to leave? Is our brain telling us that they're going to abandon us or reject us, not like us? What is it saying right in this moment? We need to write these thoughts down, get them out of your head and onto paper. You have to understand your anxious attachment style because it may not look exactly like mine or my clients. Every client I've worked with has had different thoughts, but it still creates the fear of abandonment. Your thought patterns will reveal more to you as you dig into them, as they may not sound exactly like your friends. You will see as you write down all of these thoughts that these thoughts are what is actually creating the urgency and the fear. It's these thoughts, not that they haven't texted back, not that body language you just interpreted, that is actually creating the fear and urgency to hurry up and react. It's not the situation you just went through. It's the thoughts you have about the situation. It's the thoughts you have about the incident. What is the problem with hurrying up and reacting? Well, typically, when emotions are high, our intelligence is low. When emotions are high, our ability to communicate and listen decreases. Typically, when our emotions are high and our anxious attachment is triggered, we are reacting in a pattern way that was wired in different situations. A situation of survival, a primitive reaction that does not actually have our present self or our future self in mind. So we can't show up as the person we really want to in these situations until we practice how to pause the cycle and pause the automatic response. So until you learn your patterns and intervene in your patterns, you will continue to create the same ones. Because only you can disrupt your brain wirings. No matter how well someone communicates to you, no matter how much someone tells you they love you, shows you that they love you, all of you, your flaws, your mistakes, your brain will not change its wirings. These beliefs and these thoughts that we talked about before, they will stay because of them, because of the thoughts that we've had over and over again. You know this is true because you have been with people who told you and showed you how much they loved you, and yet your brain doubted it. Your brain didn't believe them. But this is because you have to rewire your brain. You have to create new brain habits. You have to learn how to feel urgency, feel fear, and not believe the story the fear is telling you. You have to learn to question your automatic thoughts. Fear and urgency tell you the story that if you don't do something right now, everything will end and you will die of heartbreak. Fear and urgency tells you that you have to believe your feelings in an anxious attachment cycle because your feelings are telling you something real. That your overwhelm, your stress, your fear are all true and real, and it absolutely means that something has gone terribly, horribly wrong and you must fix it now. But this is not the case. This is just our brain wirings. What if fear and urgency didn't have to tell you that story? What if you could learn to feel the urgency, feel the fear, and change the narrative your brain is telling you? I want you to know that with thought work and with the work I do with my clients, you can do this. This is a concept that does take practice and a strategy that takes really becoming the observer of your thoughts and emotions, but you can do it. You can change how you're currently showing up in relationships. You don't have to believe the fear of abandonment. You don't have to believe this deep-rooted fear of rejection. What if you could learn to feel urgency with curiosity instead of feeling urgency and taking action? What if you could feel urgency and pause and ask yourself, what are you feeling right now? What thoughts are you thinking right now? What if you could feel fear and urgency and not believe their story? What if you could learn to feel fear and feel urgency and sit with them and not believe the thoughts that are fueling them? Because these feelings are real. They've now been created in your body because of these thoughts. But the stories and the thoughts behind them deserve to be questioned. When you can do this, it will change your life. It will change your relationships. It will allow you to process your emotions, sit with your thoughts, and learn how to truly communicate what is going on. You will be able to develop a higher self-esteem and self-confidence. You will be able to see mistakes as just mistakes and not something that screwed up your entire relationship. You'll be able to learn how to be yourself because you will have learned that the fear story isn't true. The feeling of fear is brought to you by the story your brain tells you about this fear. The fear feels real because it is real. Thoughts create real emotions. But what isn't real are the thoughts creating your fear. The thoughts that are creating your fear deserve to be questioned and scrutinized, not instantly believed. The story your brain tells you that creates fear is that they will leave. And your brain likes to point to the past experiences and say, see, remember when blank and blank? Well, when my brain does this, I remind it that back then, I wasn't working on my anxious attachment. Back then, I was allowing my feelings to be in control. So those experiences are completely different to the present. The story your brain tells you is created by thoughts like, they don't really love you. These happy feelings won't last. They don't really love you. They are just using you. They don't really love you. Who could love you when you make mistakes? They can't love you and stay because you have anxious attachment, which has made relationships more challenging in the past. When we have been told as people with anxious attachment that we are too needy and we're too much and we feel things too much and we have too much anxiety, and we're crazy, and we're overwhelming. We begin to believe that narrative and try to stop anything that looks like that. But what if these thoughts too could be challenged and questioned? What if you could talk back to your brain and say, "Hey brain, I know that's what other people have said, or that's what the books have said, but we're not going to be thinking like that anymore about ourselves. We're going to be working on developing new thoughts about ourselves." Fear, believing fear is going to keep you stuck in your patterns. So questioning thoughts that are creating the fear and learning to sit with the fear will change your life and your relationship patterns. As a person with anxious attachment, I know how hard this all sounds. I know how real the fear feels, the panic, the urgency. I know how real these thoughts feel, the story my brain is telling me. I know how hard it is to believe that something that we cannot yet comprehend is so hard. I know it is hard to believe that someone can and will love you, all of you, and that you're not actually too much for anyone except for yourself in this moment. As humans, we project thoughts we think of ourselves onto other people. So in this current moment, as a person with anxious attachment, we feel too much for ourselves, which I'm going to do an entirely different podcast on. As humans, we project thoughts we think of ourselves onto other people. So if you have the thought, they think, fill in the blank, I'm too much. They think I'm not good enough. They think I'm a failure. This is your sign that it is actually you who believes this, and this is where your work is. What you think your partner thinks about you, what you think your friends think about you, what you think your family thinks about you, is often your own fears reflecting themselves back at you. This is good news, though, I promise you, because you are in control of your thoughts. So if these are thoughts that you think, it's okay because you can neutralize them and eventually you can even change them. You can never change somebody else's thoughts. So it's important as we do this work that we are actually doing this work within ourselves and not on someone else. We cannot change our partner just like they cannot change us. Only we can change how much we are able to feel loved. Only we can change how good enough we feel. No action from them or from us can change these thoughts and feelings. The only thing that can change these feelings is to look at your thoughts, neutralize the negative ones, and create new thoughts on purpose to create these thoughts. Some questions for journaling. How can you create a new narrative about yourself and question these insecure self-judgments? Before you can neutralize or change your personal thoughts about yourself, you have to know what your current thoughts are. So write them all down. What do you currently believe to be true about you in your relationship or relationships or in dating? What do you currently believe about you and love? What do you think is your biggest obstacle for you finding love? These will show you where your work is. These will reveal to you thoughts that you have about yourself and love. Recognize how these thoughts make you feel. These thoughts are running the soundtrack of your relationship and your life. They create certain feelings. What feelings do they create? As a person with anxious attachment, I've had to become used to being uncomfortable. I had to get used to my body and my nervous system screaming and shouting, "We are in danger! Hurry! Red flag! Red flag!" and pausing instead of reacting. No matter how uncomfortable it feels, I know that this is my brain's response to being triggered. I know that if I give into these fears and these urgencies, I will not show up as the person I want to be in my family, as a parent, as a partner. Meaning I have had to learn how to be in my emotions and sit with fear and sit with urgency. This doesn't always look like just actually sitting down. It's more figuratively. This can look like saying to my partner, hey, my anxious attachment has really been triggered and I know I'm about to be reactive. I gotta take five. Or saying, hey, this isn't landing well with me. I can feel my anxious attachment is being triggered. I want to go calm myself down and walk myself through this so I can show up here the way I really want to. While telling myself, hey, you, I know our anxious attachment is triggered and our brain wants us to panic like it is the end of the world, but just know that we're actually physically, mentally, and emotionally safe right now. I have had to reprogram my body to be able to feel these nervous, anxious sensations in my body as my heart races, my thoughts race. I've had to learn to comfort myself and show compassion for myself in these moments as my body is literally having a primitive response to a stimulus in my situation. I've had to develop and create new responses to fear and rejection and urges so that I did not give in to them immediately and react or shut down. For me, when I was younger, my anxious attachment reactions would look like more of the activating strategies, defending myself, my actions, without really listening to my partner. Because to be honest, I could not hear what my partner was saying over what my brain was telling me they were thinking. I was so busy subconsciously listening to my brain tell me that I'm not good enough, they're going to leave me, they don't love me anymore, what does that really mean what they said, that I could not actually hear what they were saying. My brain was so loud, my feelings so intense, that I could not sit with and be me and hear them. I felt like I had to defend myself. So I would say, how can you say that? Look at everything I've done and I do for you. I would keep score. I would put myself on a pedestal. I would try to prove how much I love them through actions, by doing whatever it is I thought they'd want me to do, by doing things they didn't even ask me to do, by overtaking care of them. Because if I was perfect, if I didn't make a mistake, if I made sure they felt loved, then I would feel loved. If there was a problem or disagreement, I would call them or text them over and over again, wanting and needing for them to tell me we are okay and that they still love me. Always needing them to reassure me that I was worthy, good enough, and loved. As I got older, my brain was still so loud. Except that now I realized how much pain the other strategy cost me, that now I saw myself participating in the deactivating strategy. I would shut down. I would stop communicating because I learned that my feelings created problems. That's what society taught me. That's what relationships taught me, that my feelings were too big for me and for others. So I would shut down and disconnect. I would detach myself from situations and from them. I self-preservation, aka self-sabotage. Because also when shutting down and disassociating and detaching, I was not connecting with my partner or truly communicating. I wasn't communicating my needs and I wasn't listening to theirs. Because neither of these strategies actually worked, none actually made me feel better, and none of these strategies solved the root problem. The root problem wasn't the conflict in the relationship. It wasn't the miscommunication. It wasn't the disagreement. The root problem was the fear my thoughts created that didn't allow me to be present during the hard, uncomfortable situations. The root problem was that I had an inability to feel fear, to feel rejection or urgency without making it mean the end of the world as I knew it. So to solve this root problem, I had to learn what my thought patterns were, and when they decided to show up, I had to learn how to communicate what I was going through so that my partner didn't feel the disconnect from me, so that she would understand that what was happening was my anxious attachment was being triggered and my brain was being an asshole, so I was not shutting down from her. What sometimes looked like shutting down was me trying to pause and stop my anxious attachment triggers. I had to learn how to communicate that my love for her and our relationship was not going up and down. What was going up and down was my own fear of not being good enough and my fear of abandonment. It is my own battle between what my brain is telling me and what I really know to be true. It is the battle of turning down the volume of my thoughts so that I can actually hear hers. Hear what she is actually saying and not what my brain is making it mean. It's completely different. And over time, after doing this work, I'm now able to do these things. I can practice these strategies. I can communicate more effectively. I can listen more actively. It still happens, though. These things still come up. They just aren't as loud, and I feel I have more control over them. If you want to learn more about how you can overcome these four obstacles of anxious attachment, sign up for a free 1-hour consultation with me. If you have been following me for a while now and you're ready to get started with my one-on-one coaching program so that we can help you rewrite your narrative and develop your skill to feel uncomfortable emotions without overreacting, then email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com and let's get started. I can't wait to see how much this work will change your life. If you haven't yet, please like and share or subscribe to the podcast. It really helps my podcast reach more women. If you could rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify, I would truly appreciate that too, as it helps expand its reach. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to my podcast. I want you to know I truly appreciate it, and I also know your future self is thanking you for taking the time in your busy life to do this work, because they know how important it is for your future and your relationships in your life. Hey, and if you haven't already, go follow me on Instagram at Anxious Attachment Solution. Can't wait to see you over there. Now, go feel those uncomfortable emotions and message me on IG and tell me about your experience doing this work. I would love to support you through this process while creating a community of women who are doing this work. I will see you next time. Thank you for joining me today. You are going to want my free guide on how to calm your anxious attachment. So head over to my Instagram, Taking Back Her Brain, and grab it. If this podcast resonated with you, I would really appreciate if you would rate and share it. If you have any questions or want to know more about how to work with me, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. Can't wait to hear from you.